Thank you very, very much. And I'm conscious of the fact that we have more this afternoon in the form of more experiential exercises and so on. And also that we have some time before lunch for immediate... Do you like some immediate questions and reactions?
I would like to. Yes.
So here's a chance to... And rather than... We do have a mic that we could pass round, but I think actually the group is small enough. If you can speak up loudly, because I know there's some people here who we can easily be unconsciously normal, that we can hear and ignore the people who can't hear. So I'm doing it right now, in fact.
Should I go back to
them? Yes, okay, so we'll do that. That's better than shouting. So anybody who would like to ask a question or to make a comment at this stage, please let me know and I'll hand you the mic. What I'm conscious of is the enormous range of things that you talked about. And... it'll take a while to take it in, and I look forward to reading the lecture as well and the book. Mm. But it's just amazingly important issues that you've been talking about, and I feel a bit wordless. I know as chair I ought to be saying something profound, but I just feel that I've just entered into something that has taken my kind of understanding and thoughtfulness to a new level.
Well, thank you.
Linda.
I don't know how to use this. Can you hear me? thank you. I found that really stimulating as well, and it's humbling, really, to just kind of get back in touch with how much privilege just assume. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about from the perspective of training.
Yeah.
And I was thinking at what point we do this, because I've always seen it as a kind of fundamental in therapeutic training that we examine our own cultural preferences, if you like, whether that be about sexuality or race or whatever, and to begin that quite early. But thinking about your model and... the importance of a dialogic and inquiring attitude has made me question that in my own training program and think about, well, actually, maybe you need to attend to this over and over and over. Mm. But I think that's obvious. Mm. But the difficult bit about inquiring is that line between inquiring and using the black person to teach.
Yes.
That is adding insult to injury.
Yes.
And it's about at what stage you can support white trainees to inquire in a way that is cooperative, is dialogic, is quite an advanced skill.
Yes.
You're not going to get it in the first year.
No.
So I'm just kind of mulling that over. It's, it's a kind of weird question, really.
No, I can understand exactly what you're saying. And I think when people... sometimes when they first get to these ideas, there's quite a resistance to them. And I suppose if you're developing inquiring attitude in the training as a whole, then this sort of falls naturally into that, in a sense, doesn't it? And I think it's something that has to be come back and back to, a bit like what I was saying with the cycle, that, you know... I mean, I don't feel like I've got there or something like that, however much I've looked at it.
I suppose what's coming to mind as you're responding is I'm thinking, well, it's about the collaborative nature of the inquiry.
Yes.
So there's about a permission to inquire by the black person about the white person's whiteness.
Well, there's too.
Yeah.
Yeah, any inquiry. And of course, the thing is, of course, it doesn't actually... this whole way of thinking about it doesn't require black people to be there to make the inquiry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank
Hi, does this work? Hi, my name's Lynn Madden. Thank you very much. I've had your book for a couple of months and it's been my favourite book, and I've been walking around and showing it to people and thumbing it well and quoting from it. It's been great. I found it fun, actually. I found it enjoyable and at times playful, and which might not be a shared experience of the moment now for other people, but it's quite liberating in some ways. I think the model, for example, I was thinking about it today. I've been sort of playing with it in my mind for quite a long time, and for the last 2 months. one of the things I was thinking today was, well, actually, it's a diurnal, it's a daily rhythm. I wake up and go to bed in denial, and then I think I work through it each day. But then as I go to sleep in my white house of privilege, as it were, I'm into denial again, sleep denial thoughts probably, and wake up in denial. But so there is this sense of reaching for this every day, reaching for it on a daily basis.
So as you engage with the world, as it were.
Yes, indeed.
I could share that experience.
Yes. Yeah, and the other thing was a thank you, because I'm myself engaged in research. Mm. I'm a white woman, and I'm working with a number of black families and Somali families in Bristol, and I'm doing a longitudinal piece of work with the young boys of that family.
I think I've heard of that,
and I think what helped me when reading your book, as well as realizing my denial and so on, was just a feeling of myself as otherness, because for the boys within their own families and the schools, indeed, in Bristol that they attend and the communities in which they live, I am the other. Mm. I am racially the other. Mm. And I found that very, very helpful. So thank you very much.
Hello. Is that right? Yeah, doesn't sound like it is. My name's Elizabeth Cooksey. What I was thinking about as you were talking, I recently had the experience of breaking my ankle. And I moved from being a privileged, white, healthy person into being a disabled person. And it was a completely humbling experience, because I used to work with disabled people. I'd done all these training workshops on how you understand more about disability. And the actual experience was so different.
Yeah.
And it's really made me aware of how I'm stuck in your cycle, probably at denial, because it just seems so normal. I really like the way you talked about the normality of being white and how very, very difficult it is to actually give yourself an experience where you really understand that. Breaking my ankle has really made me aware of the difficulty of dealing with my inherent racism.
Yes. But I like the way you're not saying, well, I now know how you feel. You're not saying that. You're saying there's another cycle around disability that you've got some insight into.
Yes. Because the thing that struck me was with an ankle, it recovers.
You know,
I was really, particularly when I went to borrow a wheelchair.
You mean you were a disabled person, but you're not now.
I was a disabled person for a short time. But I also knew I was going back to the wellness dimension. So, because also I'm a trainer, so I think it's like really difficult how to give the experiences that make sense to people, because I'm gestalt, so I like people to experience. And I can't think of anything other than kind of putting on a mask and pretending to be somebody who is under... And as soon as you say anything like that, it becomes... It sounds patronising, and it's so difficult, apart from inquiry. So thank you very much for really emphasising the inquiry part.
Thank you, Judy. I too have had the book for a little while and found it very helpful. What I noticed today was how I'm very used to thinking about gender and thinking about class. And this is so hard. I find this so hard. I feel
I'm raised so hard.
Yes, I feel I'm starting to get it a bit, but it's. I think what you were saying about the cover of the book. I think maybe at the book launch you were saying something about the cover of the book and how it was deliberately a bit vague to do with it being hard to see. It's a really hard thing to see, and maybe that thought in itself is really helpful.
Yes, one thing maybe I should just say to the others, that one thing I wrote in the book is that when I started writing in the area, it felt like looking at a blank page, nothing written on it, and that as I went into it, shapes started to emerge from the page. So I asked the publishers if they could think of that image in producing a cover, and this is what they came up with, which I thought was quite good and much better than the first option they gave me, which didn't have anything at all about it. But yeah, and actually, I think yeah, that's why I did that slide as well.
There was just something else I wanted talk about to do with method or technique. So when you're talking about you quoted the Sufi teacher that I have a slight problem with that, and it's familiar to me to do with people who are into Buddhist practice. I think there are some real similarities about awareness and how to be with feeling and so on. But I think therapy is a different activity. Mm. There's something very important about being involved in the feeling, not just noticing the feeling in a non-attached way, but actually going through a cycle of being really quite attached to the feeling and maybe expressing it, it's more of a knockabout.
Like sort of really knowing the feeling.
Yes.
Immediately batting it away or something. I agree with that.
The feeling is relationally engaged with. Mm. It's not for the therapist to meditate it away.
I think, personally, I think it can be that the two things can be the same, and that people who are into meditation and that can make a mistake, as it were, by thinking that you completely disengage with feeling without really allowing oneself to feel it or to know that it's there in relationship, to really know about it. As well as being able to be interested in it. I think there can be a tendency of people who go to a spiritual path in a way almost to avoid that. But that would be my take on the spiritual experience. Do other people got any thoughts on that? It's an important point, I think. I mean, maybe it is just different. But I think that's how I would view it.
It's sort of related to that, which was the thing that I really liked, that really sort of made me think, oh, that's fantastic, what a simple idea, is that you included guilt and shame in the cycle. And then as soon as thinking about that coming into the cycle, for me, that's like I can breathe out and think, oh yeah, right, okay, I've got somewhere to start. To go from something, because it means something to me, rather than
so you're not just thinking, oh, I feel guilty and shamed, how ridiculous, or I'll just withdraw from that and feel interested in it. It actually are feeling the guilt and shame. Yeah.
And then if you to explore that, then who knows, what can come out of that. That's I thought that was brilliant. Yeah.
And go and have some lunch, which is going to be in that room where you had coffee. What I also wanted to say was that the topic that you've been talking about is is deeply personal, but it's also deeply political.
Mm.
And you brought that out in this very, very elegant way. That somehow the hugeness of the systems and the cultural embeddedness of this, what you've been talking about, and yet it's intensely personal, and you brought that right back for us to look at and face, and thank you very, very much indeed. And let's just pause for a moment and acknowledge that in this city of Bristol, the great legacy of slavery and the privilege that maybe even the foundation of this college might well be based upon exploitation of something. So it's like it's so around us all the time, and in us we swim like those fish that you speak of. So thank you. And so there's lunch, and then feel free to wander around. There's lovely grounds if the weather's okay. And there'll be tea and coffee again at the end of this lunch. And at 2 o'clock, if you're wanting to buy a book and get it signed, Judy will be here to receive your checks and sign her name in exchange. And we will also auction these two books. So, and we'll start again at 2:15 and be involved in some activities that you're going to lead us through.
Can I just ask you how much the book is? It's £19.99. £20, really, isn't it? Let's not be in denial.
Have you got lots of single pennies to give out?
Should have got some, shouldn't I?
Okay, so once again, many thanks and see you later.